Money Roots is made possible by the support of our sponsor, Rooted Planning Group. Are you ready to take control of your financial future? Look no further than Rooted Planning Group, your trusted partner in financial well-being. At www.rootedpg.com, you'll discover a wealth of resources and expertise to help you thrive financially. Rooted Planning Group specializes in personalized financial planning, investment management, and retirement strategies. They understand that every financial journey is unique, and they're here to guide you every step of the way. With a team of experienced advisors, Rooted Planning Group is committed to helping you cultivate a secure and prosperous future. Visit www.rootedpg.com today to learn more about how Rooted Planning Group can help you grow your money roots.
Welcome to Money Roots, the podcast where personal finance gets personal. Hosted by Amy Irvine, the CEO of Rooted Planning Group. Each week, Amy and her team dig deep into the world of finance, making it more approachable and understandable for everyone, no matter where you are on your financial journey. From savings and investments to budgeting and planning, Money Roots brings you practical advice, inspiring stories, and expert insights. They believe that everyone has the potential to grow a healthy financial future, and they're here to help you nurture it. So, whether you're a financial guru or just starting to plant the seeds of your financial knowledge, this is the place for you. Get ready to uncover the tools and strategies that can help you thrive financially. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's episode of Money Roots.
Hello, Money Root listeners. We're excited to be here today, just sort of taking a peek at where you're at with first quarter and all that's going on in your life. When we come out of the gate in January, we're ready to go. We've got all these ideas. We've set some goals for us in 2024. What year is it? And, you know, first quarter starts to roll around in March, and sometimes we need to remind you or a check-in. So joining me today is Becky Ethan. As you know, Becky, long-term team member of Rooted Planning Group, is really going to be talking about some of the things that she's learned and some of the things we're talking to clients about when we have competing goals. Becky, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's great to be back.
Yeah, so it's been a while since you've hosted or been on the show. We're excited to have you. There's all sorts of things going on. We're having all sorts of client meetings where things are coming up. What are you hearing from clients right now, challenges that they're having so far this year, or successes in competing goals?
Yeah, so, you know, competing goals are something that's always a challenge. But right now, it seems like a lot of it is around interest rates, and both on mortgages and even credit cards, and just, you know, wondering where to put their money to get the best use.
Yeah, that one, the credit card one that you just brought up, boy, that's starting to rear its ugly head just a little bit, isn't it? When people are starting to see interest rates, what, 20, 30%, like 29, 30% and above. The question is, do I use some of this cash? Do I save? Do I pay down my credit cards? What are some of the thoughts that you have around that?
Yeah, so first, getting a handle on knowing what you're spending and how much excess you have to be able to put extra payments on your credit cards or different loans. Because if you don't actually have the excess cash flow, then you might be paying down one credit card, but then you see a different one going back up in balance. So then it's a never-ending cycle.
Yeah, and it's hard to be, when you're paying 30-some percent of interest, it's awful hard to beat even the return on money in that particular scenario. Some people will approach me and say, should I transfer this to a 0% interest credit card and try to pay this down quicker? There's costs associated with doing that too.
Yeah, a lot of times if you don't read the fine print, you don't realize there's a 3 or 5% transfer fee that you have, and you pay that right off the bat.
And sometimes that still might be a better solution, because if you're paying a 3 or 5% transfer fee over 30 some percent interest, maybe, and that you have like 12 months to pay it down, maybe that's a better solution for you. And I think where a lot of people are, you know, and they're getting 5% interest on money right now, as of today anyways. So some people are thinking, well, should I just keep my money and invest it, or should I pay down this debt? So I know we run a lot of scenarios when clients approach us with that particular question to say, well, okay, well, what if you did invest the money in a equity-based portfolio versus if you paid down this debt and then took that money and dollar cost averaged it over time of what you would have been paying down the debt? And at 30% plus interest rates, it's starting to lean a little towards that direction now. Is that what you're seeing with clients as well?
Yeah, yep, exactly. Yeah.
Now, of course, I don't know about you, Becky, but I'm a big one on having emergency funds. So I always want to make sure people have an emergency fund, right? So when people see cash sitting there, and even if it's a high interest rate account, and that's one of their goals, and yet they see this debt and they say, well, should I just use my emergency fund to pay off this debt? That's a tough one, because what if you have another emergency and you're putting more on that high interest credit card debt? What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think it's really important that you know what your comfort level is with cash. So set a number and try to not let yourself go below it. So, you know, if say your number is $5,000 at the end of the month, if you're seeing that balance go up, then maybe think about what you could use with that, but don't decrease the amount too much where you get yourself in a pinch and you have to take on credit card debt because you made a lump sum payment earlier.
Yeah, you mentioned, again, kind of like cash flow was one of the things that you brought up. And I've had a few people ask me if they, you know, I think that they should reduce the amount going into their employer 401k plan in order to pay down their debt. I always want people to get at least a match. Like, that's kind of free money, right? So I always want to make sure that they get their match. But how do you feel about, I mean, because there's tax consequences to that too sometimes. There's long-term savings growth. But if it's keeping somebody up at night, is this one of those times where you say, yeah, there's consequences to the goals, to the decisions that you're making, but it makes you sleep better? So temporarily reduce your 401k contributions, and then in the long run, you'll be able to increase them because you don't have the debt. What are your thoughts on that?
I think for the first piece of that is determine what the debt is for. Is it for good debt, or is it for a luxury? Because, you know, things like student loans, and we're seeing people going back into repayment recently with that cash flow item. But student loans are something that a lot of times, if you didn't take out the debt, you wouldn't have the position that you're in as far as your career. Whereas a luxury item might be you see a new car that you want to purchase, so you take on that debt to have a different lifestyle. So if it's a luxury item, is there an alternative? You know, could you go with a lower cost item, which would reduce your debt, which would allow you to actually keep saving more in retirement accounts?
Good point. You know, we need a car where we live in upstate New York, and even where I have a place in Florida, we, you know, a car is a necessity. But the type of car is not, that is a variable. That would be something that we could say, okay, you know, when we have conflicting goals, how do we take a depreciable asset like a car and make it not as expensive so that we can pay down other debt or we can save, which is, you know, appreciable. That's a good point. How about other ways that, you know, people are always looking, I know I am, for ways to save so that I can spend my money the way I want to, not the way, because there's things like a car that I need. I have to have the car, but I don't mind, as you know, I hate car shopping and I hate buying cars. So I'm a buy it and hold it forever type person. But, and I think that saves me money over the long run because I'm not constantly, you know, paying for the depreciation of a vehicle. But what are some other ways, tips that we might be able to give to people that will help them with some of the competing goals that they might have?
So one that I've personally used recently is around health insurance and looking at the different options. My daughter needed health insurance. And so I compared employer-sponsored plans with a New York State plan for her. And, you know, in her case, she needs some specialist visits. So we ended up paying a premium, like a higher monthly premium for her health insurance, but we have a lower deductible and lower co-pays and just a better overall coverage. So we ended up saving money.
So in your situation, you added a monthly premium to your spend, but that monthly premium ended up saving you quite a bit of, if I'm hearing you correctly, quite a bit of money because of the additional needs that your daughter had, at least in the first couple of years of her life, maybe. And so you said you went through the state. Is that called Child Health Plus? Is that the program that you went through?
Yep, that's correct.
And is anybody eligible for that?
So children are a protected class. Mm-hmm. And so under the age of 18, as long as you can prove that it's a better health plan than they have available through someone else, then from my understanding, yes, anyone's eligible.
So you pay an extra premium for it. But again, if it makes sense for you, like if you have big costs coming up for a child, this might be one of the options that would be better. And this is not your daughter's case, but let's say that your daughter is diagnosed with something like asthma or severe allergies or something like that. There could be some, with a lot of health insurance plans, the deductibles are quite high anymore. So for a family that has a high deductible plan of say, you know, let's say it's, because what a lot of people don't understand with high deductible plans is when they quote it as a family, they'll quote it as an individual and a family. And so they'll say maybe it's $3,000 individual, $6,000 family. Well, the family has to meet that $6,000. So if your child meets $3,000, that's not enough. They have to keep going until they reach that full $6,000. So if you have a situation like that where a child has a ongoing health diagnosis, then perhaps paying, you said $200, I think, a month. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a little right around $240, but it can range depending on income level as well. So,
gotcha. So for some, it might be less than that even. Okay. Yep. So taking a look at a situation like that, that could really help with competing goals. If you're trying to save money and you have a diagnosis that requires a lot of medication or specialist visits, that could be a huge help to your family. I mean, just that, yes, let's say it's $249 a month, just as an example of what you're paying. And let's say medication and doctor visits are, you know, $400 a month. Well, there's a savings right there, because if you look at $400 a month, that could be $4,800 a year. And if your high deductible plan is $6,000, you're paying all that out of pocket. So that could actually be a big savings potentially over time. Well, that's a great example. How can people find out about, is it available on the like New York State website? Where, how can they find out more about something like that?
Yeah, so it's actually sort of hidden. It's very challenging to find the information, but if you live in New York State and you Google Child Health Plus, there's actually a website where you can see eligibility and coverage amounts. And then I would also recommend calling. You might be on hold for a little while, but call and speak to someone, because they can help direct you in the direction that you actually need to go. And some of the questions are very confusing on what they're asking. And to be able to have someone from the state actually walk you through it and help get the right answers, it's very helpful.
Well, thank you for sharing that tip. For a lot of people that might be listening, this might be something that could really help them with some competing goals. Are you hearing other challenges and have, you know, I guess from a standpoint of coming up with solutions for competing goals, are you hearing other challenges in this first quarter of 2024? I mean, one thing I've heard is the grocery prices are just killing people. Like that's been a big deal for a lot of our clients, regardless of age. And, you know, that's been a big deal. Any suggestions on ways that we can help people still save in an environment like right now where groceries are so expensive?
Yeah, for groceries, something that I use is meal planning. And you know, really trying to use up your items before you go to the store and repurchase everything. So we approach the end of the week and take a look around my kitchen and say, okay, what meal can we make that would use up something that we'd be throwing out? Mm-hmm. So we're reducing waste and also saving money.
Yeah. I think too, you know, Brent and I we've been spending a little more time shopping a little more cautiously, like actually looking at prices. Historically, if we wanted tomato sauce, we just got whatever, you know, kind of got it. We also look for like buy one, get ones a lot more often for products that we use, only products that we use, not just something that, you know. I've noticed, and I just heard on the news this morning, actually, that products that have sugar and processed foods are actually more expensive right now or increasing more than other products are, which I thought, well, that's a great, like, double benefit to go eating more healthy. So, because if that's going to be the case, if flour and sugar products are going to have a higher cost, that's a great reason to start shifting your diet towards a more healthy diet. And that can help with medical expenses and, you know, savings and all of that sort of stuff too. And we've also spent, you know, we'll look for things that are maybe like protein, especially that are in bulk occasionally. You know, we'll look for some of those items and freeze them. And I'm one of these people that needs variety. So if we do something in bulk, we have to like, you know, stretch it out over a longer period of time. I cannot eat chicken every day. I just can't do it. Now, vegetables, I can. That's weird, right? Because I can have like sweet potato, green bean, sweet peppers, all of those vegetable things, salad, like I can have that every single day, but I can't have my protein needs to be mixed up. But those are great ways to save too, I think. And I know you tend to be somebody who shops at Aldi's a bit, right? You tend to enjoy looking for bargains there also.
Yep, I certainly do. Yeah. In fact, you know, usually on Sunday mornings, I pull up the ads for Save a Lot and Aldi's and kind of look at what's on sale and do my shopping based on that. I'd love a good deal.
So I know you do. You're like my go-to person when I'm trying to find something. You're like the coupon queen of everything. And that leads to another point. If, you know, it does take a little bit of time and energy and effort sometimes when you have these competing goals, like figuring some of this out a little bit. How have you done that? Because like I was just joking with you when I said you're my coupon queen, but you really are. Like, you are able to find a coupon for everything.
Yeah, I think it's motivation. You know, if I know I can spend a few minutes looking for a coupon and I could put that savings towards a goal like travel, to me, that's worth it because I get to spend extra on something I'm very passionate about. And
well, there's that competing like goal, isn't it? Yep. What about people that are feeling like, oh, I set these big goals for this year and I'm just not, you know, I don't seem to be achieving them because it just seems like things are coming up every which way. Any suggestions that you have for them?
Yeah, I would prioritize. Go through your list and say to yourself or ask yourself, if there's only one thing that I could achieve, what would that be? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, great, if I'm able to achieve that, what would be the second one? Mm-hmm. And work down that list so it's not as overwhelming.
You're saying break it down. Like instead of focusing on multiple things, sometimes when there's competing goals, focus on one of those things and that will bring the other thing in line.
Yeah, because then you can shift your savings and, you know, you only have X number of dollars. Mm-hmm. So if you're able to really fulfill yourself with what you're passionate about, know it's a temporary thing and you can always go back and make up for your lost time.
Yeah, good point. Any other ideas that you would like to share with listeners? I think we've thrown all of these little tips. I'm going to put in the show notes this little flow chart that's like, where should my next dollar go? And it's got all these questions that goes along with it. But any other ideas that you have shared with clients that you've been meeting with?
Yeah, just know that you're not alone. What may feel like you're the only one going through it, know that most people do have competing priorities and competing goals. They just may not vocalize it. So I think if you talk to some people, you'll quickly realize that a lot of your peers are in the same situation as you.
Yeah, Sometimes it's hard for people, I think, to admit that. Like, we want to all think that we can do it all, right? I mean, we went when we first got out of college, like, you know, we didn't have everything that we actually had at our parents' house, right? So it's like we're starting over, and it's hard to do that a little bit when we're adulting. I still feel like I'm adulting to a certain extent, but I agree with you. We're not alone. Well, we, like I said, we are going to have in the show notes, where should my next dollar go? Just an idea that we, a little flow chart that we have that might help give you some ideas as well. And of course, if you have any questions, concerns, thoughts, ideas, and want to work with Rooted Planning Group, you can hop on over to rootedpg.com and schedule a discovery call with any of our planners just to see what it's like to work with us. Becky, thank you so much for being on the show today. And for those of you that are longtime listeners, we'd love it if we walked over to your favorite listening device and rated us, because the more people that rate us, the more people that can find us. Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to Money Roots, your go-to podcast for making personal finance accessible and approachable. Thanks for joining us today. Amy and her team have enjoyed guiding you through the roots of your financial journey. Remember, whether you're planting new seeds of financial knowledge or nurturing the growth of your existing financial plans, Money Roots is here to support you every step of the way. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and visit our website at www.rootedpg.com/podcasts for more resources. And of course, subscribe to Money Roots wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. A big thank you to the sponsor, Rooted Planning Group, for making this show possible. At Rooted Planning Group, they're committed to helping you cultivate a thriving financial future. Until next time, keep growing your money roots.